We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Do you ever feel like you're always on? What do you do when you need a moment to chill? How do you like to hit the reset button to get ready for what's next? These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nothing but nonstop hustle all the time. Work, family, friends, a million pressing social issues, and an expectation to be on 24/7, sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit the reset button. That's when you reach for an ice-cold Coors Light, the beer that's made to chill. Listen, there's a lot going on in Green Bay right now, and I feel like we could all use a moment to chill with a Coors Light. See, Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's literally made to chill. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies, perfect for a moment to unwind. Coors Light is what I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in their all-new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado, and as always, celebrate.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to a championship edition of a Pack-A-Day Podcast. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, thank you so much for making us part of your NFC Championship Week. And my name is Nick Schmitz. I'll be your host for the day, and we've got a lot to go over. Going into NFC Championship weekend with the Green Bay Packers playing this Sunday in the NFC Championship game. And that's obviously where we're going to start with the podcast today. But, I mean, just go back to August. I mean, hell, you can even go all the way back to this time, 2019, of last year of January, where the Packers were. And where did you have the Packers this season? I'm pretty sure I had the Packers at maybe 8-8 under a new head coach. Certainly not in the playoffs. Certainly not winning their division. And certainly not in the NFC Championship game. So just think about that for a second. The last time this team was in the playoffs was the run the table year, right? It was kind of a weird regular season. Then they get hot, beat the Giants, beat the Cowboys. And let's be real, that team just ran out of gas and bodies and, you know, got steamrolled in the NFC Championship game. But that's the thing. The last time this team was in the playoffs, they were in the NFC Championship game. And here we are once again with a chance to go to the Super Bowl. And that's very, very exciting. So first and foremost, before we go any further into this podcast, enjoy that. There's only four teams that get to do this every year of 32, and we're one of those four. So enjoy it. Enjoy it. Even if you're not all that optimistic about this weekend, enjoy it. Don't be that guy. Don't be that guy that said, well, it doesn't matter if they beat the Seahawks because they're going to lose anyway. Don't be that person. So, all right, well, before we get into soapboxing on any of that, let me bring in the rest of the team here. Jacob, Maggie, back again for as a whole team for the first time in what feels like a long time. Is I feel like we haven't as been together as a whole team since before Christmas. Is that right?
It might be.
I think so, yeah.
I think if we have to think about it, I think the answer is probably yes. but back together, a whole team once again, and perfect time to be back together as a full team here. NFC Championship weekend. well, championship weekend for both the NFC and the AFC, but championship weekend nonetheless. And Maggie, I know you weren't with us last week, so I want to start with you. Just give me your quick thoughts. You know, we talked before, we talked about this in the past a couple of times, talked about it before the show today. You know, this Packers team, none of us had them at this spot, and none of us had them as a division winner, and none of us had them with the record they have. Maggie, where did you have this team when the season started, or right before the season started?
I think I'm pretty sure I had them going 10-6, and I think I had them making the wild card in the playoffs, but I definitely did not expect them to have either the record that they have or be as far into the playoffs as they already are. You pretty much summed up everything that I wanted to touch on here, but you know, there's that saying, the higher you climb, the harder you fall. Like, aren't we still glad that we are one of four teams that is able to still keep climbing? I mean, I know that the defeats get worse as you get closer and closer to the Super Bowl. And if you make the Super Bowl and lose, that is just as heartbreaking because you were that close. But the whole point is there's 28 teams right now that would trade places with you. Ask Vikings fans, ask Ravens fans. You know, this team, quote unquote, has been winning ugly all season, and winning ugly in the playoffs is still winning. And that still gives you a shot at a Super Bowl ring. Aaron Rodgers said it to all the players in the locker room this week. You know, he said, it's going to take all of us. I'm going to need all you guys. Jimmy Graham mentioned it. And then Jimmy Graham had a killer game against Seattle. Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, those are two guys that stepped up for this team. I mean, you can walk in there and say, hey guys, people don't really think you look that good. You're not playing that great. And if they all get a ring out of it, I really don't think that they're going to care. And I don't think this fan base is going to care what happens being one of four teams left.
Yeah, well, and, you know, again, I have to echo that. Like, I mean, I understand wanting to maybe look a little bit better in some of these games. But, I mean, the reality is if you're somebody that's concerned, I was listening to live in Green Bay. And I listen to some of the local radio, and I hear some of the people that call in. And I got to say, some of the people were, you know, they were ripping on the Packers for their play in the second half. And, like, now, I, for one, am probably in the same boat as a lot of people. I know Packer fans hate the Seahawks probably almost as much as they hate the Bears or the Vikings for good reason, right? I get all that. And I know that people aren't big Russell Wilson fans. I get that for so many reasons. But you like some of what we need to keep in mind is even if you don't like Russell Wilson, he's probably a Hall of Fame level quarterback. And like to think that you were going to, after halftime, just continue to hold Seattle and Russell Wilson to three more points in the second half, it doesn't make any logical sense. So, I mean, yes, this team isn't, you know, they're not the, what, 07 Patriots that went 16-0, lost the Super Bowl and blew everybody out except in the Super Bowl. Like, yeah, they're not that team, but nobody is. So, Jacob, before the season started, where did you have this team?
9-7 and missing the playoffs just by a hair. I had them starting fast and kind of having the wheels come off a little bit. So to me, they're playing with house money because it is not possible for the Packers to underachieve this season. I know the narrative always is that any year with Aaron Rodgers that's not a Super Bowl, any year in Green Bay that's not a Super Bowl is wasted. Spare me, because there is no way, if I got honesty out of every single one of you that says that to me, you were not expecting a run to the Super Bowl this season. You may not have even had them go into the playoffs this season. So to me, you know, Maggie touched on something about how getting a Super Bowl ring and winning ugly. I know for a fact that's true because I'm friends with Giants fans. And Giants fans in 2011 and 2007 won ugly all the way to that Super Bowl. And guess what? They don't care because there's two Super Bowl rings that came out of it. In 2010, the Packers won two playoff games. You think the Eagles game? We all remember the Atlanta game and we all remember the Super Bowl because those games were awesome. But the Eagles game and the Bears game, those were winning ugly. Green Bay had to win those games close. They had to win tight games at the very, very end. Aaron Rodgers played like crap against the Bears and they still won. Well, if that's what it takes to win, to quote the quarterback, I don't care, Nick.
Well, I don't care either. As long as they are winning, that's what we're here for. That's why you watch the games. And now, I know, Jacob, I had mentioned this to you guys both after the win on Sunday. So I'm obviously rooting for the Packers to win, but I have a similar feeling right now as I did in 2014 when the Packers played the Seahawks in the NFC Championship game, that one that they should have won. We won't talk too much about that, but I kind of went into that game. I didn't expect to go into Seattle and win that game. They were the defending Super Bowl champs. They were really good all year. They were the number one seed. I wanted them to win, but I didn't expect them to win. I have a similar feeling this time around. I don't expect Green Bay to win, but, you know, I'm still going to be rooting for them on Sunday. And so just quickly, guys, we'll talk about it more, but Maggie, your just quick feeling about this Sunday's game is what?
I'll say this. The games that I go into feeling really good about are always super close games. The games I expect the Packers to lose, they end up making magic happen. And the games I expect them to play dominantly in, they don't. So whatever I'm feeling right now, I think it's going to be a close game. I don't think that it's going to be a blowout by either side. I don't think it's going to be a repeat of week 12. I think the Packers are going to look a lot more prepared, and a lot of that is stuff we'll touch on later, where they have a right tackle now and they have a return game and they're not going to beat themselves in the first 5 minutes of the game. So all that, yeah, I think this will be a better matchup. But the San Francisco defense also is better now than it was in week 12. Do I think the Packers can do enough to win? I don't know, but I do know that they're 60 minutes from a Super Bowl, and I can guarantee you everyone on that sideline knows that too. So if there was ever a time for this team to win as ugly as possible and still win, it is now in the championship game against San Francisco.
All right. And Jacob, your quick thoughts on Sunday's game.
Yeah, I mean, Maggie really hit it on the head there. I haven't had a feel for this team most of the year. I thought they were going to get blown out in Minnesota. They won that game by 2 scores. I thought they were going to blow out Washington. They won by 5. All I know is they are 60 minutes away from a game that nobody expected them to be able to play in. And I can also tell you, if you guys want to feel a little bit better, you say, well, you know, because I heard somebody ask me today at work, they're like, oh, when's the last time, you know, an underdog or a team that's not favored or like wasn't expected to win won an NFC championship game? Well, the answer is each of the last 2 seasons. Nobody was really picking the Rams to go into the Super Dump and beat the Saints. And the year before that, after the Minneapolis Miracle, the Eagles were home underdogs and they won 38-7. So it's not impossible. The 49ers are very good. There's no question about that. But when do you not play a team that's very good in the NFC Championship game? At some point, and maybe it won't happen until after the Lombardi Trophy is over Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers' head, I don't know. But at some point, I think we have to embrace that this is just what this team is. They're good, and it doesn't have to be explainable. I kind of had my shouting match with the, oh, the Packers aren't that good. I don't care if they beat the Vikings twice. They're still not better than the Vikings group. Part of the reason we love sports is because they're unpredictable. It's not something that you can't just throw a spreadsheet down and say, okay, on paper, these teams are better. These teams will win. These teams go to the Super Bowl and they play each other and win. That's not how it works. The 2010 Packers were not supposed to go to the Super Bowl. They did anyways. The 2 years ago, the Eagles were not supposed to win the Super Bowl. They played the Vikings, who had a vicious defense. They played the Falcons, who were in the Super Bowl the previous year. And then they played the Patriots, all of which with a backup quarterback. And guess what? They beat all of them. This Packers team has that chance to do just that. I think people expected them to beat Seattle because they were at home. Nobody's going to pick them to beat San Francisco. So get that in your mind right now. Nobody, some of their own fans. And Aaron Rodgers has talked about that before. These guys read everything, guys. So I think they know how the fan base feels collectively maybe about this team. But this team believes in each other. They believe in themselves. And they have this, I don't know what to call it. I don't know how to quantify it, but they have it. And special teams and championship teams have it. Whatever that is, the Packers have it. Now, is that enough to beat the 49ers on Sunday? I don't know. We're going to find out. But I do know one thing. There, like Maggie said, there's 28 other teams that would trade spots with the Packers right now.
Absolutely. Well, and, you know, Sunday, the last time Green Bay went to San Francisco to play an NFC Championship game, 1998. They beat San Francisco in that championship game to go to the Super Bowl that they eventually lost to the Denver Broncos. But the point being is, the last time they went to San Francisco to play this game, they won it. So, I want to talk about the wide receiver group going into this weekend, because it's been a question all year. We all know that Devontae Adams is a stud, and man, if you're one of those people that said that we should trade him, I don't know why, but Devontae Adams is a stud. We all know that. And then after Devontae Adams is kind of just, I mean, it's not bad. I think the best way I could say it is inconsistent and inexperienced. And Alan Lazard has probably, to this point in the year, if you were to pick a number two, it's probably him. It's not necessarily due to a whole lot of... it's not because he's head and shoulders above everybody else. I think it's a lack of inconsistency from the other receivers in the room. Some of it is him stepping up. But this is going to be a little bit of fun for me, because it is something that we can actually do that pertains to the podcast that is actually relevant. I love my father-in-law, and every week he sends me his quote-unquote hot takes for the Packers. And so he actually gave me one that is, I think, good enough to use this week. Talked with it before the show here. It's a good question. And so the question is, can any receiver step up and be a legit number two for just one game? That being this Sunday. Because the reality is, if they're going to beat San Francisco, I feel that San Francisco is going to look at what Green Bay did this past Sunday against Seattle and say, all right, they targeted Devontae Adams a lot. And Devontae Adams had, what, 8 catches for 160 yards and 2 touchdowns?
Yes.
He's not going to replicate that, I don't think, against San Francisco. Their defense is too good, and they're going to look at that and say they're going to take that piece away. And so Devontae Adams will get his targets. He will get his touches. He will. It's just it won't be that same dominating performance, I don't think, this weekend. So the reality is somebody's going to need to step up, and even if it's just for one game, I don't care who it is. If it's Geronimo Allison, does anyone really care at this point who steps up? I mean, at this point, we're all so kind of just like just yearning for that number two. I don't think anyone really cares, but... Maggie, if somebody's going to step up this week, I mean, is there somebody, A, that you would like hope that it would be? And then, B, is there somebody that you're looking at that you're like, okay, if I realistically had to pick, like, who has the best opportunity to step up and make plays as the number two receiver this weekend, who's it going to be?
My thought process is probably cheating. But, you know, this whole season, all they've said is do your 111th. And I thought the Seattle game was the epitome of being your 111th. Devontae Adams, 160 yards, 2 touchdowns, like you said, 8 receptions. He was all over the place. Alan Lazard got hurt, didn't have a catch. But then Geronimo Allison on a key third down, 1 catch for 11 yards. Jimmy Graham, only 3 receptions, 49 yards. All 3 of them go for first downs, and he seals the game. Aaron Jones only had 62 yards on the ground, but he also had 2 touchdowns. And I think this is the kind of team where you don't necessarily need to have a star wide receiver number two. You just need a supporting cast that can get the job done. And I think against Seattle, this offense proved that they could get the job done. Aaron Rodgers was money again. He was back to playoff Aaron Rodgers. Some of the throws he made were just fantastic. And yes, he did kind of look for Devontae Adams maybe a little too much at times, when players like Tyler Irvin were open. But I think that's part of it. And Jace Sternberger got involved kind of in a fullback role against Seattle, which was really interesting. So we don't necessarily, I think, need to see someone step into a number two role. We just need to see the role players be role players. And I think that it'll be an okay performance then without having like a key star number two.
All right. And Jacob, for you?
Yeah, I kind of echo the sentiments of Maggie there. I mean, I know, like she said, that's probably cheating, but the reality of the situation is the Packers don't have a consistent number two wide receiver. They haven't all year, and it's not like one magically appears out of thin air. What you need is for, like she said, somebody to step up and be in that role on 3rd and 7 with the game on the line. It was Jimmy Graham. 3rd and 10 once, it was Geronimo Allison. Alan Lazard has made big plays like that before. Jake Kumerow's had a couple nice plays down the sidelines. there's opportunities. It's about the guys making the most of those opportunities when that time comes. But ultimately, yes, if Green Bay is going to win and go to the Super Bowl, Sunday's game is a perfect blueprint for that. Their stars played like stars. They have five sacks. Zadarius, Preston, both have two. Kenny has one. On offense, Aaron Rodgers is lighting it up, throwing the ball to Devontae Adams. Aaron Jones has two touchdowns. The offensive line protects him. Those are the things that are going to matter the most. So, it's again, it's really not somebody specific. It's just there's going to be a time where, like you said, Robert Saleh is going to double-team Devontae Adams on a big play. It's a matter of can they find a way to counter that, because they did on Sunday with Seattle. Seattle double-teamed Adams on that big third down, and it still didn't matter. They found a way to beat it. But if they execute, can Green Bay find a counterpunch? Because sometimes this year they haven't been able to do that. Other times they have. They're going to need to on Sunday.
All right. Well, there you go. And want to transition into just another topic, Jacob, you had mentioned, and I want to get both of your guys' take on this. Jacob, you had mentioned that, you know, what's different the second time around when you play a team, and, you know, obviously exclude division games because that happens every year, but you can even include that. But this will be the second time that Green Bay has played San Francisco this year. It's the second time they've played them in San Francisco this year. And so, Jacob, you kind of talked about, you know, what's different the second time around. So what is going to be different this time around?
Yeah, it's something I like to look at, even with the division games, because this year the division games were so early in the season, we didn't know what the Packers were, and then later in the year we knew what they were, or kind of knew what they were, and what the other teams, namely really Chicago, weren't. So this time with San Francisco, I think the biggest difference, first of all, is that Alex Light, barring a disaster, is not going to play right tackle. And Andy Herman does his grading the pack, and he said today on Twitter that that was far and away the lowest graded game for an offensive player all season long. And trust me, the Bosa family exists to torment me. I know that. So it's an understanding that he's going to make plays on Sunday. He's great. He's already awesome. He's a phenomenal player. They need Brian Bulaga, and Bulaga is going to be coming off of essentially two full weeks of rest, actually two and a half. Well, it's not really resting if he left the game with a concussion, but two full weeks of rest because he didn't play last Sunday, obviously coming off the bye week. He should be fresh, and that all-pro level that he played at against your likes of Khalil Mack, Danielle Hunter, players like that, they're going to need that. They're going to need to shut Bosa down at least a little bit and give Rodgers some time, because everybody's going to say, well, you know, drop a game plan to get the ball out quick. Cool, that's a nice idea in theory, but you can't three-step drop on 35 dropbacks a game. I mean, there's going to be a time where they're going to have to let some longer plays develop down the field. So that's one. And the other one, I think, is you've talked about how, you know, the last time this team played, they said they laid an egg, they weren't focused, they weren't ready. That doesn't really comfort me, because I don't understand how that was the case when the game was essentially for the number one seed. But whatever, I'll be okay with it if they win on Sunday. But I really can't picture them playing like that. They're not going to turn the ball over on their third play from scrimmage and essentially give the 49ers a touchdown. You know, the 49ers are good enough on their own. They're even better if you just gift wrap them 7 points early in the game like Green Bay did. You know, last time around, I know the final score says 37-8, and it was a non-competitive game. I'm not going to try to make it sound better, but the defense did do a relatively good job against that offense. It was just by the time that the defense was starting to tire out, the offense couldn't do anything to help them out, and they got gassed and kind of gave up, and they had a coverage bust on one play from George Kittle and one play from Deebo Samuel, and bang, there you have it. So I think it's different. I think Matt LaFleur's smarter now than he was 6 weeks ago. I think a lot's going to be made of his relationship with Kyle Shanahan and Robert Saleh, and I don't think that's going to matter all that much. I mean, maybe it motivates them a little bit more to try and beat them, but they've played each other. This is a game to go to the Super Bowl. If you need extra motivation, you're in the wrong profession. So at the end of the day, Green Bay cannot play worse than they did the last time these two teams met. I think that that's – I'll say this. I think that 7.5-point spread that Vegas has out is going to be too high. If you're a jelly bean wagering type, take the points and bet the Packers.
All right. And Maggie, for you, what's different for you this time around with this matchup?
So my big thing going into this game is converting on third down. So against San Fran week 12, they were 1 of 15 on third down conversions. And I thought, honestly, against Seattle, they had one of their best performances of the season, which obviously came at a really good time, sustaining drives. Against Seattle, they were 9 of 14 for a conversion percentage of 64. So that was the big thing that they were missing in San Francisco, is they weren't able to get any momentum or sustain any drives because they were consistently punting, going three and out, having to get off the field. So if they can carry that over with, like I mentioned before, some of these role players being in the right spot, sustaining long drives, giving the defense some time to rest, tiring out the San Fran defense, because we all, you know, have seen it. That front seven is dominant, and their pass defense is, I think, first in the league in a number of categories. So long, sustained drives to burn the clock, I think, are going to be one of the key things to emphasize on Sunday.
All right. Well, and, you know, again, it's, you know, I heard this at, heard this a couple of weeks ago. One thing that is, I think, goes in Green Bay's favor this week is the fact that the last time they played, they got blown out, because it's probably a whole hell of a lot easier to motivate a team that got destroyed the last time you played than it is to motivate a team that the last time they played won by 29 points and was a very easy victory. So motivation, you know, whatever it means for the players, who knows? But, you know, I can't imagine that there isn't a single person in the Packers organization that doesn't, that isn't motivated just by the idea of, we don't want to be embarrassed again. So I think you're going to get a much more competitive game. And as I joked with Jacob before, I don't think Devontae Adams is going to speak to a single defensive player from San Francisco this weekend. I don't think that's going to come up. And, you know, Now you got a feel for who San Francisco is, right? We know that San Francisco is a real contender at this point. 6-7 weeks ago, I mean, yeah, they were, what, 8-1 going into that game. And, you know, most people figured they were a contender, but there was still a question. There were still questions about the San Francisco team. We now know who both these teams are. They're both great teams. They're both deserving of where they are at. They're the 1 and 2 seeds, respectively, in the NFC. It is what it should be coming into this weekend. So there's going to be no surprises as far as what you're getting from your opponent come Sunday. So with that, we haven't done this in a while for various reasons, a bye week being one of the reasons why we can't do it, because it's hard to give out a green and golden when you don't play, because it's really nice when you have a bye week in the playoffs. So we're going to bring that back. And Maggie, let's start with you. Your green and golden, and let me give a refresher here before we go any further. My wife came up with this idea after Mason Crosby's horrendous day in Detroit last year. Well, I guess technically I have to say 2 years ago now, where he missed, what, 6 kicks. And her idea is that every team should have a person that their job is to carry around a puppy, and they hug players that, you know, have bad games, need a hug and a puppy, because who doesn't love puppies? So we've also kind of modified that, though, because when you win, it's kind of hard to look at that. So we just, it's kind of our, you know, who made a great play or who played well kind of green and golden for winning. So, Maggie, your green and golden from Sunday's game goes to who?
I'm going to give out 2 green and goldens to Geronimo Allison and Jimmy Graham, because they both kind of had fluctuating seasons where fans weren't really impressed with their performances. They had a lot of drops. They weren't necessarily living up to the expectations that I think they would even have for themselves, let alone the fan base. And they both came up huge on third downs against Seattle. So both of them, to me, get green and goldens for improving their performances and really coming in clutch when the Packers needed them to on Sunday.
All right. And Jacob, your green and golden goes to who?
I'm actually going by the original intention. Like we said, it's kind of hard to give one out when you win, but apparently with this fan base, you guys aren't happy unless you have something to complain about. So for those of you that were in my mentions, and Maggie said they were in theirs, talking about how, well, who cares if they beat Seattle? They're just going to lose to San Francisco anyways. Give me a break. Because how is this? I mean, you've watched the last two seasons, and you can't tell me that objectively this is far more enjoyable than the last two. And I know that scaling back as long as I can to 2014, 2012, when this team won pretty, You guys complained back then too. So the idea that your first instinct can be to complain after a team wins a playoff game against their playoff nemesis, you guys need a hug and a puppy, because I really don't know if anything else can possibly make you happy.
All right. Well, I'm gonna go back on the positive train here, and I just thought of this, and Maggie, you're gonna agree with this. I know my wife's gonna love this, but I mean, let's be real. Who's more deserving of a hug and a puppy than Matt LaFleur for winning his first playoff game as a head coach of the Green Bay Packers and as a head coach in general? You know, I know when he was hired, I'll admit, when I saw that the Packers hired Matt LaFleur back in, what was it, February, March?
January 7th, 2019, excuse me.
All right, there you go, January 7th. So I was even giving him less time in Green Bay. I will admit, I had no idea who he was. I had to look it up. I didn't know. But first-year head coach, 13-3, and, I mean, Matt LaFleur may not know this as well as players like Aaron Rodgers, but beating Seattle on Sunday was more than just going to the NFC Championship game. There's a lot there with Seattle as far as championship games, interceptions that are ruled touchdowns for some unbeknownst reason. There's a lot there beyond just winning a playoff game. And for him to get his first playoff victory when nobody seems to believe in this team, he gets all of the puppies, as my wife would say. So he gets all the puppies and all the hugs.
And on that note, Nick, something else was far and away the biggest mismatch in terms of playoff experience, because Pete Carroll, two Super Bowls, tons of playoff games in Seattle. And I really think I kind of made this comparison earlier in the week, and it was that coaching Aaron Rodgers is a lot like coaching LeBron James in basketball, for example, where the microscope is definitely on you when something doesn't go well. So I don't think anybody was under more pressure on Sunday than Matt LaFleur. And I thought he was brilliant, and that's not a word that I use lightly. I think that his management of the clock at the end of the first half, I thought his play calling, his plan was great. And I thought I loved everything I heard from him. We'll never know. But he said they were going to go for it on fourth down had Jimmy Graham been ruled short. And that's something that I love. It. He wasn't afraid to lose a playoff game. He was trying to win one. And that's something, all gas, no break, that's something you're going to need on Sunday, because that San Francisco team keeps on coming. So I didn't mean to hijack your segment there, but Matt LaFleur was awesome on Sunday, and I can't stress that enough.
Yeah, he certainly was. It's not hijacking when you're taking it from me. Maggie, that might be a different story, but nobody is hijacking anything when I am talking. So one last fact before we wrap up the show here. This is going to be Aaron Rodgers' fourth NFC Championship game. Okay, he's 1-2 in NFC Championship games. He has never played an NFC Championship game at Lambeau. That'll stay the same this week. But there is one thing different about this NFC Championship game this week, and who knows if it means anything at all. It's really inconsequential. But Aaron Rodgers has never played the late game in NFC Championship. Every NFC Championship game he has played has always been the early one. He, for the first time, gets the late-slated game. So That is what I bring to this podcast, the random who cares fact for podcasting.
That's pretty good.
So the first time ever Aaron Rodgers has played the late game for the NFC Championship game. So, all right, guys, real quickly, before we wrap up here, Maggie, if people want to follow you, get in touch with you, follow your work, how do they do that?
You can find me on Twitter at Maggie J. Loney, and you can find my writing for Cheesehead TV, and also I Would Die for Matt LaFleur. Thanks.
All right, and Jacob, I know. Jacob, I got to ask. Now that we're in the NFC Championship game, are you on Maggie's level yet of dying for Matt LaFleur? I think the last time we were at it, you were like maybe taking a grazed bullet or something. Yeah. I mean, where are we at now on this? Because has it changed yet?
No, I'm not dying for, again, somebody not named Frankie or Blake. That's about it. Westendorf, I should say, not Blake Martinez. No offense to Blake Martinez. I don't hate you nearly as much as some of Twitter does.
Good clarification. So, all right. Well, but Jacob, people want to follow you, get in touch with you, follow your work. How do they do that?
Yeah, I'm at Jacob Westendorf. You can find my writing at Packer Report, and I am looking into legally changing my daughter's name to Zadarius.
All right. Well, that'll be an off-season topic that I'm sure we will broach.
Yeah, I got to figure out, is there a way to do that without my wife finding out? She has to sign for that, doesn't she?
I think so. Okay, I don't know. I don't have any children of my own.
Okay, so ladies, I'm going to need your help here. Tell me what alcohol gets you the drunkest and allows you to make the worst decisions ever, because that's the only way
this is going to happen. You can sign legally binding documents without consent.
It's rum, by the way.
Rum? Okay.
All right, so we've got an answer and a topic of conversation for a completely different podcast. So with that, thank you so much for listening, everyone. And just remember, this team, the last 2 years, had won, what, a combined total of 12 games, right? I have that number right, or is it
13.
13. So technically, as of right now, this team, in one season, has won more games than they had in the last 2 years combined. Enjoy Sunday's game. Yes, if they lose, be mad, be a fan, be upset that they lost. But also,
that's kind of the point, though, right? Like, you can only be happy if you know how to be sad, too. Like, I know the Super Bowl in 2010 felt as good as it did because of how 2007 against the Giants felt.
Right.
Like, isn't that?
Right. Exactly. But if they lose, be mad. But don't also support this team. Don't think that they're just going to get rolled. Right. Think that, have faith. This team can win. And they've been doing it all year. And this is the point. All year, everybody said they're not good. They're going to lose. They can't win. And I'm pretty sure all 53 of those players and that entire coaching staff has been so proud to prove everyone wrong every time they've been told that, and I'm sure they're going to be looking forward to do it again this weekend. So with that, again, 5:40 Central, 6:40 Eastern, 3:40 Pacific time. That is kickoff for the NFC Championship game that your Green Bay Packers are playing in this weekend with a chance to go to the Super Bowl. So with that, thank you so much for listening, everyone. And as always, go Pack, go.
Seattle, you're the visiting team. It is your choice.
We're going Tails.
Tails. Tails is the call. It is Tails. You win the toss, Seattle.
We'll defer.
Defer. Seattle wins the toss. Elects to defer their choice the second half. Green Bay will receive.
Myers with the run-up and a swing of the right leg. We're underway in the divisional round of the playoffs. Off goes Aaron Jones. Big hole around the left end. Outside the numbers 30, 35, 40. He's to the 45. Rope down to the deep secondary. 23-yard run to start the festivities here. Here's the snap. Rushes on. He looks. He lost. Left side. Delonte's got a touchdown on an over-the-shoulder grab in the corner of the north end zone. And the Packers take the lead on a 20-yard touchdown pass. A-Rod under center. Third down, a goal to go at the one. Here's the handoff to Jones, fighting his way to the end zone. Is he in? Yes! Touchdown! Aaron Rodgers under center. And here's the flip to Urban around the left end. Makes the turn 40, 45, 50. Breaks the tackle, stumbling 45. Brought down the 40-yard line number. Third down, goal to go. Rodgers shotgun, Jones to his right. Here's the give, Aaron Jones to the end zone, touchdown, straight ahead run. Aaron Jones, second touchdown of the night, gives the Packers a 20-3 lead. Third down, snap, Rodgers, shotgun, lofts it over the right side. Jimmy Graham over the shoulder catch, 45-yard line of Seattle, and down he goes. Rodgers under center, fake to Jones. Rodgers deep drop looking. Pops it over the left side. Devontae wide open. Outside the numbers 20. Cuts it back right past forward. 10 to the 5. To the end zone. High step. Touchdown. Devontae Adams. 40 yards. Third and 5. And this is huge. 3:38 to go for the game. Packers lead by 5. Wilson shotgun. Snap to Russell Wilson. Rushes on. Wilson is head and set. It is Preston Smith with a huge play. A mega play by Preston Smith. Loss of 6. Third down and 8. 2:19 to go in the game. Rodgers in the shotgun. Takes the snap. rushes on, lost it over the right side. Devontae over the shoulder, catch, got out of bounds, crossed the 50. First down, Green Bay, the 46-yard line of Seattle. That was huge. Third and 9 for Green Bay. Huge play here for the Packers. Rodgers in the shotgun. Snap to Rodgers. Blitz on. He throws it over the middle. Jimmy Graham's got it. Stumbling close to the first down. He's got the first down. 36-yard line of Seattle. First and 10. Gain of 9. The dagger in this one was the stumbling catch by Jimmy Graham. And time is winding down on this one. And that'll do it. The Green Bay Packers have advanced to the NFC Championship game with a 28-23 victory over the Seattle Seahawks.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.